The St. Helena Sanitarium, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, January 23, 1903. I have been strongly impressed to write something in regard to the St. Helena Sanitarium. This institution was established by the Lord's direction, and it is not to outlive its usefulness. It is to be a living institution, through which the light of truth shall be shed abroad. The same God who works in other places where our medical work is established is ready to work in the St. Helena Sanitarium. Much of his power is to be revealed in this institution. It is to grow to the full stature of what God desires it to be. Lately, the number of patients at the sanitarium has decreased, owing to an array of circumstances that could not be helped. One reason for the lack of patronage is, I think, the stand that those at the head of the institution have taken against serving flesh meat to the patients. Ever since the opening of the sanitarium, meat has been served in the dining room. We felt that the time had come to take a decided stand against this practice. We knew that it was not pleasing to God for flesh meat to be placed before the patients. Now, no tea, coffee, or flesh meat are served in the institution. We are determined to live out the principles of health reform, to walk in the way of truth and righteousness. We shall not, for fear of losing patronage, be half and half reformers. We have taken our position, and by God's help, we shall stand by it. The food provided for the patients is wholesome and palatable. The diet is composed of fruits and grains and nuts. Here in California, there is an abundance of fruit of all kinds. If patients come who are so dependent on a diet of flesh meat that they think that they cannot live without it, we shall try to make them look at the matter from an intelligent point of view. And if they will not do this, if they are determined to use that which destroys health, we shall not refuse to provide it for them if they are willing to eat it in their rooms and willing to risk the consequences. But they must take upon themselves the responsibility of their action. We shall not sanction their course. We dare not dishonor our stewardship by sanctioning the use of that which taints the blood and brings disease. We should be unfaithful to our master if we did that which we know he does not approve. This is the stand that we have taken. We are resolved to be true to the principles of health reform, and may God help us, is my prayer. Plans must be set in operation that will bring an increase of patronage. But would it be right for us, for the sake of obtaining more patients, to return to the serving of flesh meat? Shall we give the sick that which has made them sick, that which will keep them sick if they continue to use it as food? Shall we not rather take our stand as those who are resolved to carry out the principles of health reform? Shall we not stand as watchful sentinels, encouraging the patients to obey the words of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1, 2. The Lord desires his people to come into line and to work with all earnestness in faith and love to bring into their lives the fullness of Christ, the efficiency freely bestowed on all who will comply with the condition laid down in the Word of God. Advance moves are to be made. We are not, for the sake of securing a larger patronage, to employ physicians or nurses who are not willing to walk in the full light of health reform. We are to stand on an elevated platform. We do not establish sanitariums that the patients who come may indulge perverted appetite. We are to bring into our sanitariums as helpers those who stand firmly on the platform of health reform. Study the words of the Apostle Paul. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbour. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfil the lusts thereof. Romans 13, verse 8, 10 to 14. I carry a burden for the St. Helena Sanitarium. I greatly desire to see it doing the work that God desires it to do. During the past year, many calls have been made for help in different parts of the world. And to all of these calls, the Sanitarium Church has responded liberally. The Sanitarium itself has always been ready to help where it could. And the amount of work that it has done for those who were not able to pay is not small. It is now placed in adverse circumstances, in a trying position. Few understand the difficulties through which this institution has had to pass, and is still passing. We have done all that we can to place it on a right basis. For years in the past, it should have been conducted as it is now. But those standing at its head had not the moral courage to decide for the right. Changes have had to be made that would not have been necessary if all who had borne responsibilities in the sanitarium had walked and worked in accordance with the will of God, in the light that the Lord has given upon health reform. We call upon those of our people who have money to help this institution in its pressure for means. The Lord is acquainted with the circumstances that led us to make the decision to be true to principle. I ask those who have means in the sanitarium whether they will allow a part or all of this means to remain in the institution free from interest. And I ask those who have means that they can spare to give of this means to help the Lord's institution in its need. We have given so largely to foreign fields that the home field is unworked. Calls are now being made for means to send to foreign fields, while in the southern states of America, there are many thousands of people who have never heard of present truth. We need to arouse and make earnest, zealous efforts for the unworked fields of America. For years, the southern field has been kept before our people. Yet how much has been done for it? What efforts have been put forth for St. Louis, New Orleans, Memphis? If the Lord Jesus were here today, he would say as he said to the disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." John 4, verse 35-36. We must now enter the fields in America that have never been worked. From city after city, the cry of barrenness is ascending to God. There are in them no memorials for him. No effort has been made in them to proclaim the message of the gospel. I entreat those who know the truth to take up their neglected work. No longer let the Master look upon fields whose barrenness rebukes your neglect. Every soul who believes the truth is responsible to give to those in darkness the light he has received. This world is our training school. Here we are to learn how to exercise the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. To those who receive him, Christ gives power to become the sons of God. Here we are to prepare for the higher grade, the school above. If we live the life of Christ in this world, we shall be ready to unite with the loyal and true in the higher school. I do not want anyone to withhold gifts from foreign fields, but I do urge our people no longer to dishonor God by leaving untouched fields such as New York and other large cities. No longer refuse to listen to the call, come over and help us. Acts 16, verse 9. In America, thousands of people die every day without having heard the last warning message. Let the workers in the Lord's vineyard show that they realize that they are sons and daughters of God, that their citizenship is in heaven, and that their strength and means are not to be spent on self. God's great vineyard in America needs to be worked. One of the first things to be done is to help the St. Helena Sanitarium to tide over its present difficulties. What will you do to help? I shall certainly urge this matter upon you, for a condition of things that should not have been has made the institution suffer, and it deserves assistance. It requires holy, consistent living to give a man that wisdom that enables him to do the right thing at the right time. Every work is to be brought into judgment, to pass under the scrutiny of the great I Am. Oh, we need to humble our hearts before God. Holiness of character, pure, upright principles are obtained by diligent watching and earnest, sincere prayer. If any man will come after me, Christ declares, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. As we obey this instruction, we walk in the footsteps of the Savior. I leave these words with you. Do not fold your hands, content to do nothing. Wake up, brethren and sisters. There is a work to be done in foreign fields, but there is just as important work to be done in America. After you have done something for foreign fields, do not think your duty done. Remember that there is a work to be done in America. A few faithful workers have been toiling in New York. Have you taken an unselfish, practical interest in their work? Have you helped them by your sympathy and your gifts? In the cities of America, there are people of almost every language. These need the light that God has given to His church. Our people do not realize the responsibility resting on them to proclaim the truth in the unwarned cities of America. God says to them, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Isaiah 60, verse 1. Why then do they feel no burden to add new territory to the Lord's kingdom, to plant the standard of truth in new places? Why do they not obey the word? Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Luke 12, verse 33. Why do they not return to the Lord his own, to be invested in the heavenly merchandise? Why is there not an earnest call made for volunteers to enter the whitening harvest field? Unless more is done in the cities of America, ministers and people will have a heavy account to settle with the one who has appointed to every man his work.